As I was thinking about today and thinking about those impossible challenges that we face in life, I thought back to a moment that I was not exactly prepared for. Have you ever had a moment like that where you were not ready for what was going to be thrown your way? You were completely unprepared and not ready for the challenge that was going to be thrown at you. For me, it was my very first game of football when I was in seventh grade. Now, to give a little bit of background, I had played baseball growing up, not as long ago as Brad. Did you see how old that glove was? Wow. But I had grown up playing baseball. I had grown up playing soccer. I had never played football until I got to seventh grade. And so I decided I was going to go out for the team. And I quickly get out there for the team and I realize that I'm not measuring up. Like literally, like, you know, looking up to all the other players. I was not the size that they were looking for on that particular team. And so they start dividing people into different positions. I decided I wanted to play on defense and they found a spot for me. And I'm looking at the depth chart and I go, I'm not first string. I'm not second string. They stop at third string. I'm not there either. And so I'm just kind of, okay, where am I going to go? And so I got demoted to special teams, but not starting on special teams. I was backup special teams kickoff return unit. And I had a spot. My spot was the third player from the left on the front line of the kickoff return team, which if you've ever watched football, those are the guys that just get run over. So I was delegated to that position. And so we're getting ready for the first game, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to play. I'm just going to be on the sideline supporting my team. And we go out on the field, and we are receiving the opening kickoff. And I look out on the field, and the coaches are counting the players, and I'm counting the players. And there are 10 players, and there's supposed to be 11. Guess which position was missing? Third player from the left on the front line. And so I turned to the coach and I said, hey, that spot that's missing, that's the one that I'm supposed to back up. Should I be in the game right now? And he goes, get out there, and, you know, yelled some expletives and threw them in my direction. So I go out there and the other team did exactly what you should do in this moment. They analyzed the field and they said, who is the least prepared person for this opening kickoff? Probably the guy who didn't know he was supposed to be out there, who ran out there at the last minute. And so normally the opening kickoff goes way down the field, but not in seventh grade, it doesn't. And so they're just gonna kick it somewhere. And the somewhere they decided to kick it was directly at yours truly. It was a little hopping bounce that nailed me in the hands. Perfect, right? If you know how to catch, that ball bounced right off of my hands and I can just still see it all these years later, probably 30 years later now, and it bounced perfectly off my hands into the hands of someone from the opposing team. Instead of us receiving the opening kickoff, we started on defense, thanks to me. You know, it was amazing. I knew I was the backup for that position, but they found somebody else to be the backup for that position by the time we had to receive another kickoff, and I never saw the field again on kickoff return the rest of the season because I was not prepared for that moment. It was a moment that had I had more practice, had I played football before, maybe I would have been ready for it. And the reality is that in life, we're going to find challenges that come our way. They're going to be even bigger than playing in a football game and playing a position that you know nothing about. There are going to be challenges in life that we are going to encounter. And maybe you are in the midst of a challenge of a season you're entering into where you do not feel prepared for what you're being asked to do. Or maybe you've been invited into a leadership role and it's something that you don't feel quite prepared for. Or maybe the person ahead of you is retiring and stepping away and you find yourself with more responsibility. Maybe you've got a new family role or something that's challenging you and putting you in a different direction. In each and every one of these moments, we need to know how to face the challenges that life is going to throw our way. I've mentioned this before, that a lot of times when we put together these sermon series, especially the summer ones, we just kind of pick a general direction and say, we'll see what happens. Maybe there will be some overlap. Maybe there will be some themes. And with this one, we didn't really prepare for there to be overlap within the themes, but there just seems to be coming up over and over again as we look at these passages. God leading us into the unknown. God leading us into moments where we need to trust in Him. God leading us into experiences where we feel as though we might be alone, but finding that God is there with us in the midst of it. And this story picks right up with that. In informing us and leading us to know how it is that we can face impossible challenges in life. And so as you think about your life, as you think about the challenges that you face, how do you prepare for those? How do you prepare for the challenges that you will experience? How do you prepare for the significant things that are going to come against you? How do you find yourself going into something new or going into something that might be unfamiliar? I think this is such an important message, not just for those of us who find ourselves in those moments individually, but this is a question for us as a society, as we see changes of leadership within our government, within our businesses. This is a question for us within the life of the church as generations come and go, as the years go by. It's a challenge that we experience no matter who we are or where we are in life. And so the truth of God's word is something that can guide us through that. And I believe that this story, this foundational story from the life of Joshua, gives us some insight and direction for how God might lead us in our lives when we find ourselves up against these challenges that we might deem to be impossible and we do not feel as though we are adequately prepared to face them. And so when we think about this, we think not just about this particular passage, but we think about the whole story of Joshua. Briefly, I just want to go over some of the highlights of Joshua's story of what happens after we get out of chapter 1. Joshua is the story of the people taking possession of the promised land. In Genesis, we have the beginning of Scripture, we have creation, all the way through the family of Abraham, through Joseph, his great-grandson. We find the Israelites find themselves being sent to Egypt, escaping a famine. And while they are there in Exodus, they become enslaved. And the next four books, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, tell the story of God's people in Egypt and then being freed from Egypt and then wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And Joshua picks up the story with how they are going to take possession of the land that God had promised to them. And so we go through the story, and in chapter 3, they're getting ready to go in, and they've got to cross over to the Jordan River. And Joshua, who had been an assistant to Moses, thinks back and probably thinks in the back of his head, what do you do when you face a body of water that you can't get around? Well, all right, that's it. You just pass it, I think is what I heard. Siri, thank you, coming through for us. What do you do when you find a body of water that you can't seem to get around? Well, for Moses, it was parting the Red Sea. It was God parting the Red Sea. They crossed over on dry land. For Joshua, the same thing happens. The Jordan River is in the way. God parts the waters, and they are able to cross and go across on dry land. A couple of chapters later, in chapter 5, they are getting ready to go into the promised land. This is kind of the penultimate scene before they go into the promised land. And we're told they do a few things. Number one, they renew the covenant with God, something that they had not done during those years of wandering in the wilderness. Joshua calls them back to renew that covenant with God. And they take time to prepare, and in their preparations, also, they learn to farm the land. They learn to grow their own produce. Before, up until that point, all throughout the wilderness generation, the Lord had been sending down manna, which was a word that was made up. It literally meant, what's that? And it was this food that would come down from heaven, feeding them each and every day. But here in Joshua chapter 5, they begin to take control and to partner with God and to partner with the land, and they begin to grow their own food and make that transition from those that are dependent to those that are ready to lead into what God has promised them. And then at the end of chapter 5, we have this incredible scene where Joshua is there, and all of a sudden there is a figure that appears, and Joshua turns to this figure who looks mighty and powerful, and he says, are you for us or against us? And the person responds, neither, but as captain of the Lord's army, I have come for this moment. And there Joshua falls to his knees and recognizes that God is in what they are about to be facing. Chapter 6, we see the great battle of Jericho, an incredible battle in which the people marched around Jericho for a period of days. And at the end of the days of marching around, they marched again and they blew their trumpets, and the walls did what? Came tumbling down. There's a great song. Kenji, you want to sing it for us? You don't. Okay, so Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Great, great tune. Got a nice little swing gospel pattern to it. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Everybody. Okay, just me. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. It's a great story. It's one of those just absolutely incredible moments of God's power being demonstrated. It made no sense for them to march around in this certain order and to blow their trumpets and that the walls would come tumbling down, but God prevailed, and God did a mighty act there at Jericho. And then chapter 10, they're in the midst of a battle and they need the daylight to continue so that they can be victorious and win the battle. And so what does Joshua do? He turns to the heavens and he prays and cries out to God to make the sun stand still. And they said, never before that day and never after did the sun stand still, but it stood for the period of an entire day, giving them the chance to be victorious. Now, all of these are incredible moments of God's power being demonstrated. All of these are moments of Joshua experiencing victory and the power of God. But the question is, how was he prepared for those challenges? How was he prepared for those moments? How did he know how to face those moments? What was it in his background that perfectly positioned him to be the leader for this moment? And that is where I believe chapter 1 shows us how we navigate the challenges of life, how we navigate those moments, and how we prepare for that which might seem impossible. Thanks, Matt. And so we pick up in chapter 1, and what we see in this story is that this comes after the death of Moses. So chapter 1, verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. What we see in these first few verses, thank you so much. What we see in these first few verses is that make you wait for it for a minute. Is that Joshua is invited in this moment to stay focused on his task. He is invited to stay focused on the task that God has given him. And the task that God has given him is God has given him the task of being the one to carry on the work of Moses and to lead the people to take possession of the promised land. The land had been promised to them, but it is here that they are given specifically the task of taking possession of it and going to lead the people so that they can take what God has promised them. And so when we think about facing our own impossible challenges, the first step we take is to stay focused on the task, to know what it is that lies ahead, to know what it is that is coming up against us. For Joshua, he understood this task well. He had been waiting for a long time for this moment. We know from the story of Joshua that Joshua had been born in Egypt, and he was a part of that generation that left Egypt and left slavery behind them. And we are told that along the way, he was an aide to Moses. And then in Numbers, we're told that there was a group of spies that went out, and Joshua was among them. And the group of spies goes out, and they are looking at the promised land, and they are to report back to Moses whether they feel like they could go and do what God has promised them to do. But 10 of the 12 spies come back and say it's impossible. We can't do it. Even with God on our side, there's no way that we can do it. But Joshua and Caleb were the two who said, we believe and we trust in God and we believe that we are capable of doing what God has promised us to do. And so he has known about this task. 40 years have passed since that moment he went and scouted out the land, but he's been waiting for it. He's been waiting for this task to be done. He's been waiting for this moment, and he understands what it is that lies ahead of him. But he's getting the details, and he's reminded in the midst of it, Moses isn't here to lead the people anymore. You're in charge. You're being asked to lead the charge, and you know what the task is, and you know what it is that lies ahead of you. And so we stay focused on the task. Then the Lord gives more instructions to Joshua, and it's here that we start to see how he has been perfectly prepared for this moment and how he is going to be able to face what he is going to encounter. Verses 7 and 8 say, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that when you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. In other words, in this moment, the Lord calls him back to the foundation that he had in his faith in God. And he's invited to stay firm on that foundation, to stay firm on the foundation of God's word. For Joshua, it wasn't just about his military experience. It wasn't just about his leadership capabilities. It was about the foundation of God's word being rooted within him. And that's exactly what he calls the people of God to do, to go back to the covenant, to go back to the promises of God, to meditate on the word, to renew their relationship with the law of God. For Joshua to face what he is going to face and the challenges he is going to face, he's got to be firm on his foundation. And he has been waiting a long time for this moment. The people of God have been waiting for this moment. And so being called back to that foundation is so important, but it's also something that God has been nurturing within him all along the way. Joshua was the servant and the aide to Moses, the leader of the people. Joshua was there learning firsthand from Moses what the law was all about. When the Lord is reporting back to the people and delivering the tablets with the Ten Commandments on it, Joshua is right there alongside him. When the Lord is meeting face to face with Moses, and Moses and the Lord are talking within the tent of meeting, Joshua is the custodian of the tent, waiting outside. He has been waiting, and he has been waiting and developing faithfulness all along the way, and laying this foundation of understanding God's law, understanding God's will, understanding what it means to follow God. And that foundation is what's going to enable him to be strong and to be courageous in the moment in which he finds himself in. So I think about my personal journey of life and ministry and leadership. I can think back to so many marks along the way in which I was not ready to lead and I simply had to wait. I remember one of my favorite ministries that I was a part of, I loved everything about being a part of it, was the University of Georgia Wesley Foundation. I spent 2 years as a student leader there and 3 years on staff there working with the worship ministry. And I remember when I first got there, I said, hey, I would love to be involved, be supportive however I can. And I would love to one day be able to be the person who would go and would be the main worship leader for one of our worship services. And they said, Anthony, we need you to be a support musician. You're gonna stand right here. And I said, okay, so I'm gonna stand right here. And then a couple of years pass by and I go back and I say, I would love to be able to lead, be one of the main leaders for one of our services. And they said, Anthony, we need somebody to lead a few songs after the message. That's what you're gonna do. And then you're gonna stand over here and be a support musician the rest of the time. And I remember looking back on that, they never entrusted the responsibility of being the main guy at any point. But what did happen in those years was I learned how to cultivate faithfulness. I learned how to lay a foundation of seeking God and seeking God's presence. I learned how to support others in the act of leadership. I learned what it meant to be led by others. I learned what it meant to study God's word and develop patterns in my life of prayer and study of scripture, so that when I had opportunities to lead later on, I had been perfectly prepared for it during that season. I think back to the many years I spent as an associate pastor. And as an associate pastor, you always think to yourself, I know better than the senior pastor does. I know the best way to lead this. I know the right way to go about it. If you're on a church staff, if you're an associate pastor, you think these things. Oh, hey. And I remember thinking back to those days, and I remember there were so many things that I was like, oh, if we would just do this, if people would just understand this is what we need to do. But it wasn't mine to lead. Instead, it was my season to wait. It was my season to lay that foundation. And what God did within me in that season was he taught me how to be more faithful. He taught me what it meant to follow more closely. He taught me what it meant to grow in my own personal discipleship and to learn from others and to learn what might be needed later on down the road. That was the foundation. And Joshua has that foundation laid, not just of leadership cultivation, but an understanding of being called back to the Word of God, that would be the foundation of who he is. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 37:3. Most people, when they quote from Psalm 37, they quote the next verse. The next verse says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And most people really, really like the he will give you the desires of your heart part. And that's what we hope for. And they sometimes forget the delight yourself in the Lord part. But even before we get to delight yourself in the Lord, verse 3 has this incredible instruction within it. Psalm 37:3, I'm going to quote from the New American Standard Version because I love the language that it uses. It says, to dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. In other words, wherever you are, to stay secure there, and while you are rooted and planted there, use that time to cultivate faithfulness, to nurture faithfulness within your life. Before you get to the point of God giving you the desires of your heart, before you get to the point of being ready to go and lead, you take time to cultivate faithfulness. Those words resonate even more deeply with me now that I live in South Georgia. And I find myself driving around and seeing farmland and seeing places where things have been nurtured, where things have been properly watered and properly fertilized and prepared and ready to bring forth a harvest. We need that in our own lives as well. And for Joshua, before he gets to the point of being the leader, before he gets to the point of being the guy that is going to lead this incredible, important task against this impossible challenge, he has been laying the foundation, and God has been nurturing it within him. And so God calls him back in this moment, when his moment has come, when the challenge is before him, and he says, you've got to stay firm on your foundation. Stay committed to the law. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The foundation was God's word being deeply planted and rooted within him. And that's what prepared him for what he was going to face. And then in verse 9, we get the most familiar phrase within Joshua chapter 1. You may have seen this in Hobby Lobby. You might have seen it in someone's house or on a card. It's a wonderful instruction. And it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. He is instructed to be strong and courageous and to not be afraid. And the reason that he is invited to not be afraid and to be strong and courageous is because he is given the promise that the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so in our journey, when we find ourselves against impossible challenges, what we stay confident in, what we stay bold and strong and courageous within is our confidence in knowing that God is with us. We stay confident in our God. We stay confident in the presence of God. And as we have journeyed through these scriptures throughout the Old Testament stories, the Old Testament heroes, we have been reminded over and over again, it's a theme that just keeps showing up in these scriptures, the hope and the promise of God's presence with us in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of difficulty. And for Joshua, he is invited to be strong and courageous, but he is not being invited to be strong and courageous in his own abilities. We are invited not to be strong and courageous because we are equipped for the moment. We are not invited to be strong and courageous because we have the right skill set for the task. We are not invited to be strong and courageous because we have the right educational background or the work history or the perfect resume. That is how you get a job. That is not how you take on a mission from God. We take on a mission from God, and we are prepared for that moment when we are rooted in who God is. And we find that what matters most in those moments is not anything that we can do on our own. It is that we are strong and courageous and confident in our God because of the foundation of his word within us and his presence that goes with us. And so whatever we find ourselves up against, whatever challenges are thrown our way, what matters the most in those moments is that God is there. And if we stay true to that word that is implanted within us, as we stay true to what God has invited us to be a part of, that is when God gives us the strength and the courage for the challenges that we are going to face. And I know within our church, we have people who find themselves at different points of the spectrum. We have those who are looking at the years ahead, and they realize that the generation that was ahead of them is no longer there to lead the way. There's no one for them to look up to and to seek wisdom from. And they find themselves facing the challenges of tomorrow, and they've got to lean back on the foundation that's been laid. They've got to lean back on what God has instilled within them. We've got some who find themselves and they're experiencing this passing of the torch, maybe in a business or maybe in a family responsibility, and they're being asked to lead, and they have been prepared for this moment, but they still find that their challenges that they're going to face that they might not be completely ready for. And in each and every one of these, we prepare for the challenges of tomorrow through faithfulness today. We prepare through the faithfulness and the foundation that has been laid before us. We rely on that. We lean on that, the truth of God's word, the power of God's presence within us and alongside us, so that we can face whatever challenges that we are going to experience. And for Joshua, in his moment, he had this 40 years of travel and journey and faithfulness to God, supporting Moses, being the one in waiting. And through that, God prepared him for the challenge that he probably, on his own, was not ready for. But God calls him back and he says, you're going to be strong. You're going to be courageous. And the reason that you're going to be able to stand and the reason that you're going to be able to lead is because you know the word and you know that I am with you. And in our lives, we've got to nurture our souls by being called back to that command and knowing that God is with us. We nurture this through our encounter with God's holy word. I would encourage all of us, if we're not spending time like Joshua was instructed, to meditate day and night upon the word of God, to make that a part of our regular rhythm. If you're at 0 minutes now, 1 minute is better than zero. If you're at 5 minutes, 10 might be better than five. But just going deeper and deeper in our faithfulness to God's word and letting that become the rhythm and the pattern of our lives. And through God's word, through God's presence, through practicing the presence of God within our lives, that is what prepares us and enables us to be able to face the challenges that we are going to experience in life. And so this morning, as we think about our journeys, as we think about the challenges that we might face, how might God be calling you back to faithfulness to his word? How might God be calling you to see and to perceive and to understand that he is present, that he is with you? How can you face tomorrow with strength and courage by knowing the truth of God's word within your life and the presence of God that goes with you? Joshua leads the people with strength and courage, but he didn't just show up and give a pep talk and go out there. God has been nurturing this in him for years. And he invites us to nurture that same faithfulness within us so that we are ready. And then incredibly, at the end of Joshua's journey, another famous verse from the book of Joshua. He's instructing the people. He's giving them instructions for what's going to happen after he is gone. And in chapter 24, verse 15, he says, "If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Within our church, we see this over the years, that there will be one generation that will speak into the life of the next generation. And then that generation will speak into the life of the generation that comes after. And the challenges that we will face as a congregation will be significant in the future. They'll be different than the ones that were faced by previous generations. And the gift that I believe that the generation that is leading now and the generation that knows that their time will come to pass, the gift that they can give more than anything is an invitation to those coming behind them to stay faithful to God's word, to stay faithful to serving God, that even though the challenges and the ways we navigate them might change in the years to come, there is a legacy within our church and within our faith that invites us to keep passing down that the thing that is most important and most significant in the challenges of any era, of any generation, of any season, the thing that is most important is our faithfulness to God. May we instill that in one another. May we pass that down to one another. And may we all stand strong and courageous, knowing that God is with us.